JM in the AM, Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Chasof, done by Mordechai Ben David, as we really start to get into some of the Hanukkah selections. Hanukkah, after all, is a week from tomorrow night. By the way, the book we're about to speak about is a great Hanukkah gift. It's called Living with Miracles. Our friends at Art Scroll are responsible for it, more so Rabbi Binyamin Przanski, who's on our phone line. And you could go and to the website, artscroll.com. Again, you can go to artscroll.com. Use promo code RADIO24 for your massive discount and free shipping on any amount. You know the rule. When you go to artscroll.com, always use promo code RADIO24. The brand new book is entitled Living with Miracles, Stories That Inspire and Illuminate Your Life. Rabbi Binyamin Przanski, if I told you the number of books that he is responsible for, it would stagger you. So instead of talking about the incredible library that he's responsible for, let's talk about the brand new one, Living with Miracles. All right, Binyamin Przanski, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Appreciate that very much. Now, there are a lot of different takes on miraculous stories. And there are people who've addressed the subject of miracle stories in the past. What I think is unique of the from the sample that I have read from your brand new book is that on the surface, a lot of these stories don't seem miraculous. When you are stopping on the road to help somebody whose tire is in noticeably bad shape, nobody looks at that story as a miracle. And I will ask you to tell us about the ending in a moment, Rabbi Przanski. But first of all, do you agree with my premise?
I agree. But there's more to the story, as they say. There's more to the story.
Right, because the person who stopped to help that person with the bad tire insisted on staying with them until the entire chesed had been completed. And that...
Well,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yo, when I say more to the story, there's more to every story.
Right.
It's not just about the miracle per se. It's the miracle spirit in every youth's heart. It's the miracles Hashem does for us on a daily basis. We have miracles every day. It's not just the splitting of the sea. Every day, every youth, he's got his sea in front of him that's being split. So that's what I'm trying to focus on in this book. It's to bring out the Ashgacha Pratis that happens in your life.
Right.
The amazing things Hashem is doing for you on a constant basis. And that's really what we were trying to bring out. And everyone should recognize that they have that ability and they have that special relationship with Hashem that's available to every yid.
And the first story I brought up, that's the case, meaning that because the person who stopped to help the person with the car problem insisted on staying until the others who were in the difficult situation were safely on the road and on their way, because they insisted on doing it, it made the entire process for those people miraculous, because otherwise they could have been, they could have been waiting and, trying to figure out what to do for God knows how long. But because someone decided to stay with them, that chesed, which went till its completion, ends up being miraculous for the people on the road.
There you go. That's what we're trying to bring out.
You like that, huh?
I like that. Not bad.
I don't know what you would do without me. Then I turned to the, this was quite a story, by the way, and I'll turn to you in a minute because, traditionally we ask the author of books like this to share a couple of stories with us, which we will in a moment. But one of the other ones that caught my eye was the quicksand story, right? There's a kid, a teenager that literally, I didn't realize there is quicksand in this area of the world, but apparently there is, and was in a very, precarious situation. At the same time, his mother is making a sudos hoda, and they, get together after he's saved, et cetera, et cetera. And I know I'm doing this quickly, but they figure out that as this incredible thank you was being given by the mother it was for his birth 16 years earlier.
And she was celebrating. She was thinking that she never really thanked Hashem for the gifts that she had in her life. And primarily, it was having a son after many years of being married.
And they figured they calculated that as she was having this Seudas Hodah and giving the ultimate thanks for something that happened years and years before, that is precisely when a friend of his figured out how to save him. And in fact, with all their strength, they were able to save his life. So again, I don't know if we'd call it a miracle or a coincidence, or there's no such thing as a coincidence, but your point obviously being there is something to be said when you remember that, you know, years and years later, a chesed that God has done for somebody. And of course, that's an important lesson for all of us. You know, we think about, you know, life going on and everything happening on a day-to-day basis, and we forget sometimes about the incredible chasadim that have been done along the way.
That's right. We have opportunities to really awaken our spirit sometimes, and thank Hashem. We do it in Moedim every day. We thank Hashem for the Nisim and the Chesed that He does for us. And from time to time, I think we have to think about all the Chesed that He did over the years. And there were times that every individual has times when he went through a difficulty, and then somehow miraculously Hashem got him out of it. And by tapping into that and thanking Hashem and bringing our Hoidah, our thank yous, up a level, on Natra 2, we are tapping into a very special, unique opportunity to connect to Hashem and bring His chesed to the front and to the fore to help us in situations that we have presently.
Right. Benjamin Przanski is with us. The book is called Living with Miracles, Stories that Inspire and Illuminate Your Life. And again, one of the differences, I don't know if I emphasize this enough, every single story in this book has a lesson that you speak about, that you write about at the end of the story. Because, and again, there are plenty of great story books, and many of them inspire, and many of them are, you know, help uplift people and inspire people. But here you want everyone to have a practical takeaway. You want to make sure that everyone has this, you know, real lesson that they're taking with them as they've finished the story. And I have to assume that that's rather unique, right? That's not always the format when it comes to books.
I tried to focus in this book on the stories, and not just my stories, but they're really your stories. What are you going to take the story? Where are you going to take it in your own life? And try to see in your own life how I could take a lesson and live with it and elevate myself in some way and be inspired and inspire others. Tell it over to your children, your grandchildren, your friend, your neighbor, and share with them some of this light and illumination.
Give us an example. What's one of your favorite stories from this book that we haven't yet mentioned this morning?
Okay, there's a wonderful story about a friend of mine, Reb Sholi Rosenblum. Reb Sholi works in Bagel Hole, Coney Island, Flatbush. I'm sure you've been there before.
Of course, who hasn't?
And Reb Sholi is amazing. He's a chesed machine. Besides working in the bagel shop, he does chesed. He's constantly trying to find people who he could enlighten their lives. And one of the things he does is something called Ten Chiyuch. He tries to give a smile to people. What does he do? He takes the birthday cakes, and he'll get donors to sponsor birthday cakes for people who are ill. And on their birthday, they'll get a birthday cake. They'll get their own birthday cake, and he presents it to them. So he's always looking for these type of chesed projects. Right. And the story that I focused on over there is actually a different chesed. One day, he was wanted to do something amazing. He wanted to print a pamphlet about Tosfos Shabbos. Tosfos Shabbos, for those who don't not familiar with it, Tosfos Shabbos is when you want to add Kedusha to Shabbos, so you take Shabbos in earlier. You make an early Shabbos. It's a very special and unique thing to do. A lot of Kedusha and holiness that goes into such a thing. They wanted to write a pamphlet about it based on the Torah of Rav Meilich Biederman, very big mashpia in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Meilich, everyone knows Rav Meilich Biederman.
Sure.
And he was writing up these, so he's putting it together. I'm going to tell you the short part of the story because it could take a while to say this. I'll say the short version. He put it together, and he wanted to put it out, and he had tremendous siyata d'shmaya in doing it. He was able to do it eventually. He went to Rebbe's Kever, and he prayed over there. He davened, and he was able to put out this pamphlet. When he was giving it out, he said, "Hey, Tosfos Shabbos, hey, why don't you check this out, Tosfos Shabbos?" He was telling someone, and someone said, "Toys for Shabbos?" I said, I didn't say toys for Shabbos. I said toys for Shabbos, if you know Hebrew. So it's Kassam. Toys for Shabbos, toys for Shabbos. And he probably said it with like a Hasidish, you know. toys for Shabbos, toys for Shabbos. And the guy said, toys for Shabbos? He said, no, I didn't say toys for Shabbos. But he said, Reb Sholi said, he said, toys for Shabbos? What a great idea. Why don't we do something called toys for Shabbos? I give out cakes for people. I make packages of food for Cholim. So why don't I make that when these people come from Eretz Yisrael and I give them out a food package to help them in their unique situation when they're going through something difficult and their child is ill, why don't I also present them with toys for Shabbos? And he made these packages, these beautiful packages of toys. He got sponsors for toys to light up children's hearts, and he called it Toys for Shabbos. And a new organization was started, not by chance, by tremendous siyata d'shmaya that Hashem led him to a new chesed adventure.
Unbelievable. I love that. Absolutely love it. All right, Benjamin Prezantsky, he's with us. We'll do one more because I, you know, when I saw the title of this story entitled Minion Message, you know, I don't know how many stories, and I guess because it happens, you know, many times each day, I don't know how many stories I've heard about people who, you know, are desperate for a minion and are very committed to a minion and davening with a minion, or their, you know, father was very committed to it, so they go ahead and make sure to continue that tradition, whatever the case may be. And of course, we've heard so many times where, you know, through twists and turns, they end up getting a minion. I could tell you my own stories about that, which are pretty remarkable. Now you start about Rabbi Zacharia Wallerstein and the fact that he's now in a situation where it looks like he's going to be delayed and miss minion, and he ends up finding a minion and going to the shul, and there he meets this this former Israeli soccer player who tells him that, you know, thousands of fans were cheering his name on a daily basis, but nothing means as much to him as being a chazan in a shul, as being part of a minyan and being part of the religious community, etc. And Rabbi Wallerstein recognized that, you know, he looked at it as a test in terms of how to find a minyan, but in reality, God wanted to make sure that he experienced some inspiration and some uplift through this story. So I wanted to commend you for taking the average minyan story and turning it into something different.
it is something different. First of all, it's Rabbi Wallerstein.
Yep.
I mean, those who knew Rabbi Wallerstein, what a special man he was.
Yep.
And he seemed like a simple person on the outside. He may seem like a simple businessman, but he was such a star and taught so much to so many people. Such an inspiring person. And minion is something that you and me and every yid is always running to catch sometimes, right? We're running to Landau Shul. We're running to a different minion factory to catch that minion. And in that particular story, Rabbi Wallerstein was in Florida. And he was looking for a minion, and he always said that his father ingrained in him that you have to make a minion. You go on vacation, make it your business to find a minion. So he was into that mode. And on that particular day, he said, I got to find myself a minion for Mincha. And through a series of Hashgacha Pratis, he finally found his minion. And not only did he find it, but when he met a Yid over there who said, you know, he used to be a star soccer player.
Right.
And he had thousands of fans who was rooting for him. And then he left that field and he for a Torah life. And he started to daven and lead a congregation in davening. So he said, you know, I still get the thrill of the crowd, but no longer are they chanting my name, they're chanting Amei Yehei Shmei Rabba, and that's much greater. And Rabbi Wallerstein walked away. Not only did he get a minion, but he got a lesson for life that Hashem wanted him to hear, that sometimes a yid could change direction and find Hashem and feel like a much greater star because of it. And it's really looking out for those special lessons that Hashem brings you and me on our daily life. When we're looking for a minion, sometimes he'll teach us a great lesson that we didn't even realize was coming our way.
And you wrap it up by giving a positive charge, as you call it. Remember, when you hit a setback in life, remember that this isn't a failure, but rather it's an opportunity to get up and go forward, perhaps in a better direction. Before you write your next book, I must tell you about our minion at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis when we thought there was no chance in the world there were 10 Jews in the building. I got to tell you that story, Eric Brzezinski.
Okay.
I'll tell you, when that 10th shows up, There's no greater feeling, I'll tell you that much. And in that case, we begged the guy. We said, please, please, just come and join us. And it worked. So we begged on behalf of God, and sure enough, everything worked out. The book is called Rabbi Binyamin Pruzanski's Living with Miracles, Stories That Inspire and Illuminate Your Life. Great Hanukkah gift. It's at Art Scrolls website right now. Remember, the rule is always use promo code Radio24 when you do. Free shipping, great discount on any amount. Simple as that. Again, it's Living with Miracles, Rabbi Binyamin Pruzanski, and he is responsible for a ton of books. And in this case, I'm almost accurate with that description. Pretty amazing. Rabbi Pruzanski, happy Hanukkah to you, and thank you so much for inspiring us again with this work.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All the great work that you're doing. And that itself is a great story, my friends, to listen to you every day with so much content and great spiritual inspiration for Klal Yisrael.
Appreciate that very, very much. Rabbi Binyamin Pruzanski on a Tuesday morning broadcast here at JM and the AM. Good opportunity for me to pitch after what Rabbi Pruzanski just said. If you're in agreement with him, support our year-end campaign. Support the inspiration. Support the bridge that we've built between diaspora and Israel. Support the great music and the wonderful Torah that's on every single day. Go to fjbunity.org. Again, that's fjbunity.org. More coming up. It's JM in the AM.